I'm Ron DeLegge, inventor of the Portfolio Report Card, which tells you if your investment plan is on or off track. No more guessing about your investment portfolio's fees, risk, tax efficiency, and performance. Go to PortfolioReportCard.com to get started. Find out if your IRA, 401k plan, and investment account passes or fails. Take off the blinders and invest with confidence. Go to PortfolioReportCard.com to get started and find out if your investment plan passes or fails.
You're listening to the Index Investing Show. This is America's only weekly program focused on the important stock and bond indexes and the financial products that track them.
And now presenting your host,
Ron DeLegge. Ron DeLegge.
Coming up on today's show, a portfolio report card for SMW in Highland Park, Illinois. This is a $4.2 million investment portfolio, and we're going to break it down on today's show. We're going to look at all the holdings and see if this investment portfolio, Pat, also coming up, the euro continues to crater, now down 25% over the past year. Louis Vuitton bags for everybody. Is the euro going to par with the dollar? We'll talk about that. If you'd like to jump in, tweet the program live at Index Show is my Twitter handle. You can also email me, ron@indexshow.com. My portfolio challenge to all of our listeners still stands. If your investment portfolio that I analyze and grade scores an A, I will pay you $100 to find out if your portfolio passes or fails. Go to PortfolioReportCard.com. So let's take a look at what's going on in financial markets before we drill down to SMW's $4.2 million portfolio. Let's begin by talking about U.S. stocks. Lower again this past week, S&P 500 down its third consecutive weekly decline. And so we see a little bit of a pullback here for S&P 500, U.S. stocks, which have really been on fire over the past several years, and so certainly not anything that really should surprise us. At the other end of the market, well, I shouldn't say other end, but as part of the market, is the energy sector, which really has been a very poor performer. If we look at all the S&P 500 industry sectors, this has been one of the worst. And the energy sector, XLE, since the beginning of 2015, down around 6% on the year, and the sector once again beginning to pull back. Now, it did have a little bit of a rally there, but really nothing more than a dead cat bounce. I told you that. I told you that energy stocks were not a deal, and that if you were going to try to buy energy at the bottom, that you should wait, because the bottom is not yet nigh. And one of the reasons I know that is because we haven't seen capitulation selling. What we've seen is capitulation buying, and that's never the sign of a market bottom, at least a firm bottom, in any market. So capitulation selling, total disgust with a particular sector or asset class is what you want to see if you're going to become a contrarian buyer that gets in at the very, very bottom. We haven't seen that yet, though, with energy stocks. Probably more pain ahead before we get to that point. XLE tracks energy stocks in the S&P 500, including companies like Chevron and Enron. Or did I say Enron? Look, you know what I'm talking about, the energy sector. So Enron is not part of that. They used to be. Oh, my goodness. That was a throwback from back in the day. So that's what's going on in the energy sector. XLV is another sector that is at the opposite spectrum, which tracks the healthcare sector. XLV up 5%, and actually that's been one of the best performing sectors this year in the S&P 500. We'll get you caught up on some of the other sectors and happenings. Now, how about the euro? This has been at the top of news headlines everywhere. The ECB, that's the European Central Bank, kicking off its quantitative easing program this week. And, of course, the euro has just been collapsing in price as the ECB goes out and invests in bonds. and that this has really been a damper on the euro. So how about some Louis Vuitton bags for everybody? I mean, it might be time to take that European trip. Right now, the euro, since the beginning of the year, is fallen almost 14%. Over the past year alone, down 25%. I went to Europe in May of 2014. I should have waited. Oh, what are you going to do? Well, you can always go back, I guess, right? Because, of course, if you went when it was 25% more expensive, you've got to go when it's 25% cheaper. It certainly is that right now. So the euro collapsing. We see, you know, for those of you that are bearish, and you're looking for asset classes to short, this has been a good one. EUO is an ETF that aims for double daily opposite performance to the euro. EUO, that's the ProShares ETF that goes daily opposite with double leverage or 200% leverage. EUO up 70% over the past year, and that continues to be a really, really good performer. The euro is going to par with the dollar. And yes, everybody can have Louis Vuitton bags. Let's all go to Europe together. If you're just joining us, you're listening to the Index Investing Show. I'm your host, Ron DeLegge. This is where we talk about the birds and the bees of successful investing. We also talk about companies like Enron and Blockbuster Video and other companies, Radio Shack, that have nuclear bombed people's portfolios over the years so that you can avoid these same mistakes. And the mistakes they made are pretty clear and pretty evident. The lack of diversification, the lack of risk management, the lack of controlling investment cost. These are all things that contribute to disastrous results. And don't think for a second, if you're going to ignore these things, that your investment performance is going to somehow excel, because you're really deluding yourself. So on today's show, we're going to do a portfolio report card for SMW. In Highland Park, Illinois, let me set this up and give you a little bit of a background about them. This is a married couple in their mid-60s. He is in the database software business. He's a consultant. He's on the verge of retiring, and so is she. And when I say on the verge of retiring, well, she's going to retire in another couple months, and he also is going to retire at the end of this year. And so this nest egg of $4.2 million, this represents a lifetime of work. And they wanted to see how their portfolio does in terms of cost, risk, diversification, tax efficiency, and performance. That's what the report card that Ron DeLegge does is all about. So they live in the Midwest, and he's one of the top software consultants in the Midwest, and he's about to become one of the top retired software consultants in the Midwest. And so we're going to take a look at some of these holdings. It consists of this entire portfolio consists of two IRAs, one for her, one for him, and then two trust accounts. One is his and one is hers. And the overall portfolio, this $4.2 million, is divided across 7 ETFs and 4 mutual funds. Wow, that's 11 holdings altogether. That in itself should be a statement to all of our listeners. The fact that you can have just 11 holdings in a $4.2 million portfolio proves you don't need to have a lot of investments necessarily inside your portfolio the larger it gets. Let's see if it's helping or hurting this particular couple. Now, in terms of investment strategy and investment types, because this is important background in understanding whether this money is correctly aligned and is compatible with who they are. So this is what they told me in terms of what their main investment goal is. And they said investment income that allows them to afford discretionary items. That's in it growth that keeps up with inflation. Also, they describe themselves as balanced investors that want to have, again, capital appreciation with a little bit of income being generated from these investments. When I asked them what would you do if your value of your investment dropped 30%? Their response was to wait until the value returns and then sell, and to continue to hold for a long time. So that's their mentality. Does their portfolio match up with that? I'm Ron DeLegge. This is the Index Investing Show. We're going to find out when I come back.
The Index Investing Show with Ron DeLegge.
All right, welcome back from the show. You're listening to the Index Investing Show. I'm your host, Ron DeLegge. You can tweet the program live at Index Show is my Twitter handle if you have a question. And speaking of questions, we're going to get into a couple of questions that have been submitted. One of them I want to tackle right now, and then the other one I'll tackle later. But the one I want to tackle right now is an email that I got last week, and toward the tail end of last week's show, I started talking about it, but I wasn't really able to expound the way I want. It was from MM, a listener who had a question about correlation and the impact that that should have on how a person puts together an investment portfolio. A correlation for our listeners refers to the behavior of different asset classes versus each other. So the idea of, let's say, having a diversified portfolio is to have different asset classes in your portfolio that are not correlated with each other so as to achieve what we say is diversification. In other words, some assets will perform better than others. Others will perform worse than others. But the point is that all parts of your portfolio perform at some point. Now, you may have, let's say, a 5-asset class portfolio, right? And let's say 3 are performing and 2 aren't. Well, that is a lot better than having a 1-asset class portfolio that's either on or off. You just don't know. So this is what diversification is all about. Now, the point is, I don't want you to pay so much attention to what current correlations are when it comes to assembling a diversified portfolio, because that doesn't really matter. And we will see occasionally temporary distortions where correlation between different asset classes doesn't exist or doesn't seem to exist. And the point is that doesn't all of a sudden mean diversification doesn't work. It just means that there are temporary distortions in the market. And that will happen at some point in our life. We've already seen it happen historically in periods like, for example, 2008, and in extreme market climates like 2000, from 2000 to 2002, in extreme market climates, you will sometimes see these temporary distortions where correlations between different asset classes don't seem to exist. But that, again, does not negate the benefits nor the time-tested strategy of diversifying. And so don't get so focused on correlations between asset classes and what they are right now, and that's going to somehow help you to build a more rock solid portfolio. The point is, stick with the strategy of diversifying and let the temporary distortions happen. They will, and just be ready for them. And the best way to prepare for them is not to try to time the market in and out of various asset classes, but rather to just hold a basket of different asset classes using low cost index funds that are excellent representatives of that particular asset class. So that's the approach. Thank you, MM, for that email. So let's take a look now at our portfolio report card for SWM in Highland Park, Illinois, a married couple in their mid-60s. This is a good-sized portfolio, $4.2 million. So let's drill down and see what they've got. They've got seven ETFs, 4 mutual funds. And let's begin with the first grading category, which is cost. All well-built investment portfolios purposely and deliberately minimize investment cost. That means getting rid of the high expense ratios. It also means getting rid of the excessive brokerage trading commissions. It also means getting rid of 12B1 fees and things like redemption fees, which are that erode and threaten the safety of your investment portfolio. So that's what it's all about, minimizing investment cost. So I take a look at this portfolio. This is for SWM, and all of their investments, with the exception of one, are in Vanguard ETFs and Vanguard mutual funds. Now, the only one that's not is ticker symbol DFGEX. That's the DFA Global Real Estate Mutual Fund. That's the only non-Vanguard holding in this portfolio. The rest are funds like ticker symbol VTI, Vanguard Total Stock Market Fund, ticker symbol VXUS, BNDX, which is a Total International Bond Index Fund, ticker symbol VCIT, which is a Vanguard Corporate Bond Fund, VNQ, which tracks U.S. REITs. So these are among their largest holdings, and from what I can see, all of the expenses that they're paying on the low end average 5 basis points or 0.05%, all the way up to 0.32%, 32 basis points for that DFA real estate fund. And so what I see here is that they've taken a very deliberate steps to minimize the negative impact of costs and their inside their investment portfolio. This is across all four accounts, the two IRAs and the two trust accounts, and that's exactly how everyone should be doing it. So well done so far on the first grading category, cost. This is a good start. Next up is diversification. Do we know what the definition of a truly, truly diversified investment portfolio is? Well, it's pretty simple. It's an investment portfolio that has exposure to the five major asset classes. And what are those five major asset classes? Can you tell me? Stocks, bonds, commodities, real estate, and cash. Those are the five biggies. And you can subdivide stocks and bonds into two other categories, domestic and international. So when you do that, you've got a diversified portfolio. You've just covered the major asset classes. If you want to invest then, after you've done that, in non-core asset classes, things like private equity and venture capital and IPOs and collectibles and volatility instruments, derivatives, long, short, leveraged ETFs, all of those types of assets are what we call non-core asset classes, or belong in the non-core part of your portfolio. So the core is pretty simple. The core is broadly diversified, low cost, and a good proxy of the asset class it's tracking. Now, this portfolio for SMW has exposure to domestic and foreign stocks. That's good. They also have some exposure to bonds. We highlighted that ticker symbol, BNDX. That's a pretty big holding. And then global real estate along with cash. So very well done. Still, it misses one major asset class. And you know what that is? Commodities. There is no exposure in SMW's investment portfolio to commodities. And that, I would say, is a shortcoming in terms of diversification of this portfolio. Additionally, these combined portfolios have minimal direct exposure to emerging market stocks. Now, if you take a look at some of the holdings they've got that international fund, ticker symbol VXUS. It does have a little bit of exposure to emerging market stocks. About 13% of that fund is exposed to emerging markets. But nevertheless, having some direct exposure to this area, I think, would definitely enhance the overall diversification of the portfolio. Nevertheless, a pretty good job in terms of diversification. So we just looked at two of the first grading categories for SMW, minimizing cost, and with the exception of missing commodities in their portfolio, overall pretty good job on diversification. We'll take a look at the other grading categories like risk, taxes, and performance, and give them a final report card grade of A, B, C, D, or F. Do they get an A? Do they get a B? Do they get a C, D, or F? Well, you're going to find out on today's show. Also coming up, we're going to get into an email about U.S. small cap value funds and one way to play that particular area. I'm Ron DeLegge. This is the Index Investing Show. I'll be right back.
Index Investing Show with Ron DeLegge.
Are you frustrated with how your investments never seem to grow? Do you feel like your investment plan might be off track? Are you concerned about your portfolio's fees, taxes, and risk? If you answered yes to any of these questions, you're not alone. Get the help you need with Ron DeLegge's free portfolio report card. Get a snapshot of your current investments and find out if your financial plan is really on track. Go to ETFguide.com and click on Ron's portfolio report card. Millions of people are investing blindly in the stock market. Don't be one of them. Ron DeLegge's free portfolio report card tells you everything you need to know about your portfolio's fees, taxes, and risk. Go to ETFguide.com and click on Ron's portfolio report card. Traditional IRA, Roth IRA, 401k plan, or brokerage account. It doesn't matter what you have. Ron's free portfolio report card will tell you everything you need to know. Go to ETFguide.com and click on Ron's portfolio report card. Don't invest without it.
All right, I want to get to a tweet that I received from a good friend, B-Man, ABC123. That's his Twitter handle. And he's a loyal fan of the show and a longtime listener. And he sent me a tweet. On the next show, can you discuss the best U.S. small cap value ETF for a core portfolio? Because I can't get DFA funds. And U.S. small cap value, I'm going to give you a ticker symbol, B-Man. That's ticker symbol VBR, Victor Boy Ron. That's the Vanguard Small Cap ETF. And it charges just 9 basis points, 0.09%. Really, really low expense ratio, which is outstanding. And VBR, by the way, has beaten the DFA U.S. Small Cap Value Fund. The ticker symbol on that one is DFSVX. VBR has easily beaten the DFA U.S. Small Cap Value Fund, not just over the past 3 years, but it's done it over the past 5 years and over the past 10 years. And VBR, just to give you an idea, over the past 10 years has increased in value by 124% versus a 113% gain for that DFA fund. So I think that's a really, really good alternative to DFA's U.S. Small Cap Value Fund. You can't go wrong with that one. Now, in terms of portfolio building, you know, this is an area for your core portfolio. I'm not a really big fan when it comes to portfolio construction of the Morningstar style boxes. And I see many investment portfolios that build themselves that way, where they go large cap value, large cap growth, large cap blend. And then the same thing for mid cap stocks. Blend, value, and growth. And same thing for small cap, you know, where you've got 9 different funds, each representing that particular style of investing. Well, the thing that you can do is if you just buy an all market index fund, something like ticker symbol SCHB or VTI, those two ETFs cover the entire market, which is going to encompass all those different styles. So that's your core for exposure to U.S. stocks. And then if you want to emphasize or overweight one or two particular types of styles of investing, like value or perhaps growth in a particular category, then you can do that. But I just think it's unnecessary to be building 9 different Morningstar style boxes. It creates too many funds, number one, a lot of clutter in your portfolio. It's just not really necessary. If you're just joining us, you're listening to the Index Investing Show. I'm your host, Ron DeLegge. If you'd like to get a portfolio report card, why analyze and grade your portfolio? Now, if you're working with a financial advisor, that's fine. I'll tell you what your fees are. I'll also tell you if that asset mix, that the portfolio of investments that have been recommended to you, is perfectly compatible with who you are risk-wise. I'll also tell you if your portfolio scores well when it comes to minimizing taxes and minimizing costs, and whether your performance is satisfactory. This is what the Portfolio Report Card is all about. Go to PortfolioReportCard.com and get started. If you get an A, I pay you $100. Now let's take a quick look at see what some of the key market benchmarks are doing so far in 2015. We talked earlier about some of the industry sectors that are within the S&P 500, like energy, which is one of the worst. Even worse than that has been utility stocks. XLU down almost 8% since the beginning of the year, and a couple things happening there. Number one, market is on offensive mode. Defense is not winning in 2015 like it did in 2014. So it has a lot to do with market sentiment and the risk-taking aggressiveness of market participants. We've also seen interest rates edging up a little bit, and that has been a damper on utility stocks because it's a rate-sensitive sector. So that kind of explains what's going on there. In terms of the broader markets, ticker symbol VTI tracks the total U.S. stock market, up almost 1% since the beginning of the year. Developed international stocks, VEA, up 3.5%. Emerging market stocks down 2%, VWO. Bonds, total U.S. bond market, up pretty much the same as the U.S. stock market, almost 1%, BND. Gold, ticker symbol GLD, down 2.3%. And will we see $1,000 an ounce gold? That is a question. I really think we will. I think we will, and I think what's happening in the oil market, that deflationary action is indicative of what lies ahead for the gold market. And I'm sorry, gold bugs, hate to disappoint you, but I think you've got more pain ahead. GLD so far down 2.3% since the beginning of the year. VNQ, which tracks U.S. REITs, up 1.7%. And those figures provided to us courtesy of the Wall Street Journal. Let's get back to our portfolio report card for SMW in Highland Park, Illinois. Now, this is a married couple in their mid-60s. They have been very, very good savers. They've accumulated a nest egg of $4.2 million. You don't get that kind of money by being a goof off. You definitely have to be a good saver. And you also have to be very good at whatever you're doing work-wise. And this is SWM is one of the top software consultants in the Midwest, located in the Chicago area. And they are on the verge of retiring. So the bulk of their portfolio is in, as we described earlier, Vanguard mutual funds and Vanguard ETFs. Now, they just own 7 ETFs. All of them are Vanguard funds. And then the 4 mutual funds are also Vanguard, with the exception of one, which is a DFA global real estate fund. They scored well when it comes to minimizing cost. I mean, the most expensive mutual fund that they've got inside this portfolio charges 32 basis points, or 0.32%, which is outstanding. And on the low end, they're paying just 5 basis points. So this is what we talk about when it comes to deliberately minimizing your investment expenses. The more money that you're able to save, it means the more money you're able to keep. And that's what it's all about. You know, everyone focuses on making money. Well, yeah, making money is important, but it's also how much we keep. We can't make a lot if we're not keeping a lot. And so minimizing investment costs is an obvious area that all of us can do. I mean, this is not rocket surgery, but it does require having some deliberate approach, which in this case SMW does have. On diversification, they scored pretty well there. They missed exposure though to commodities, and also lacking direct exposure to emerging market stocks, I think, is a shortcoming. Next up is risk. Now, here's the overall asset mix for the combined portfolios. Now, this is two IRAs, his and hers. Now, his IRA, well, let's begin with hers. Her IRA is worth $505,000, okay? His IRA is worth $1.1 million, okay? So he's got a little bit more in his IRA than hers. Now, her trust account is worth $1.3 million, and then his trust account is worth the same amount, $1.3 million. So in terms of the overall asset mix, and I looked at this and graded this on a combined basis. The overall asset mix of all these accounts combined together is the following. They've got 53% exposure, 53.3% to stocks, 44.2% exposure to bonds, 1.6% exposure to real estate, and then the rest is in cash, under 1%. So this asset mix match up, is it compatible with mid-60s-year-old investors that are moderate or conservative? Well, the asset mix, and from what I can see, tilts a little bit on the overweighted side towards stocks, about 12% too much in terms of exposure to equities. And I'm going to explain how I came up with that figure when we come back and why they need to improve when it comes to risk. You're listening to the Index Investing Show. I'm Ron DeLegge. Portfolio report card for SMW when we come back. Go nowhere.
The Index Investing Show with Ron DeLegge.
All right, so let me explain this on the risk grade, and we're doing a portfolio report card for SMW, and they are located in a beautiful city called Highland Park, Illinois, and this is a $4.2 million portfolio, consists of two IRAs and two trust accounts, and this is a mid-60s couple. They've been very good savers. They've been very diligent about minimizing the investment cost of their portfolio. They're pretty good in terms of diversification. So we're, next grading category is risk. Then we'll look at taxes, performance, and give them a final grade of A, B, C, D, or F. So we already told you that the overall asset mix of this portfolio is really about 53% stocks, 44% bonds, just over 1.5% to real estate, and then the rest to cash. So as I was explaining, this asset mix tilts about 12% overweighted towards equities. That's a little bit too much for someone that describes himself as a moderate or conservative mid-60s investor. Now, how do I know that? Well, because the rule of thumb for a conservative portfolio is your age in bonds. So in this case, that would indicate this portfolio should be 65% bonds, 35% stocks. Right now, they're at 44% bonds, 53% stocks. And if we allow for some leeway of that rule, if we say let's add 6% to their equity exposure of what that conservative rule of thumb should be, so that would be 35% stocks, 65% bonds, and if we add 6% to that 35%, we come up with 41%. And right now, they are at 53%. In terms of equity exposure. So 53 minus 41, what do we come up with? 12. So that's how I'm coming up with that 12% overweighted towards equities. They need to lighten up in terms of their risk exposure to equities, and a 20 to 40% correction with their current asset mix would expose this portfolio to approximately $450,000 up to $900,000 in potential market losses. That's just to their equity exposure risk right now. So also another problem I found in terms of risk is with less than 1% cash exposure, the combined portfolios really don't have what I call a margin of safety built in. And so the margin of safety, there definitely needs to be a bigger margin of safety. 1% cash cushion just isn't enough. So we'll talk a little bit more about the margin of safety if we have time on today's show. But in terms of risk, I think they definitely need to do a better job of managing risk. And by the way, this once again proves that in itself, having a low-cost diversified portfolio, I mean, that's half the battle. But the other half is making sure that the mix of assets is compatible with who you are. Now, in terms of tax efficiency, this is very important because minimizing the negative impact of taxes should be a core part of everything that we do as investors. And this can be accomplished in two very simple ways. Number one, having smart asset location. And number two, using investment vehicles that are tax friendly. So the combined portfolios, as we mentioned at the outset, we've got 7 ETFs, 4 mutual funds, and they are structured in a way that is deliberately minimizing taxes. Now, we don't have to worry about premature retirement distributions just because they're over age 59 and a half, so that's not an issue. Now, the two taxable accounts, those are trust accounts, are using tax-friendly index funds, so that's good. Also, they do own some tax-free municipal bonds, which there, too, is minimizing the negative impact of taxes. And, of course, this is a high tax bracket couple, so that certainly makes sense to be having those tax-free bonds. Ticker symbols, by the way, ticker symbol VWALX. That's a Vanguard High Yield Tax-Exempt Fund, Admiral Shares, and then VWIUX. Both of those funds held in his trust account and hers. So good job in terms of limiting the negative impact of taxes. Next up is performance, and this is our last grading category. This portfolio grew 5.9% from January 2014 to January 2015 versus a 4.9% gain for our blended benchmark index, which matches the same asset mix. Well, it's not surprising that they would closely match. In this case, they outperformed our benchmark. Great job. So they outperformed by 1%. That's outstanding. And that's what you want. That's what's called satisfactory investment performance. For those wondering, what is satisfactory investment performance? Is there a definition of that? Well, yes, there is. Your portfolio should match a blended index benchmark or slightly outperform it. That's the goal. And they did that. So well done, SMW. The final portfolio report card for SMW is B. Now, this grade means that the portfolio scored well in 4 out of 5 grading categories. The portfolio's strongest areas are minimizing cost and the one-year performance, which was outstanding. Diversification and tax efficiency are adequate but could be improved. The weakest grading category was risk. And the current asset mix, I think, comes up short on full compatibility, with a moderate mid-60s investor. And nevertheless, I mean, a B is still a pretty good score. And if they had their risk down in terms of making it more compatible with who they really are, conservative, moderate investors, then I think this portfolio is definitely an A. Now, in terms of margin of safety, because this portfolio that we just graded, a $4.2 million portfolio, doesn't have what I call a margin of safety. Now, I've heard this argument that, well, high net worth individuals with large portfolios don't need a margin of safety because they can afford to absorb large losses and invest for the long run without being adversely affected. Hogwash! That is complete hogwash. Everyone, wealthy or not, is impacted by losses. And having a sizable investment portfolio simply means that a person has more money at stake, thereby increasing, not decreasing, increasing the need for adequate protection. That's your margin of safety. Now, if you're still having trouble identifying the appropriate margin of safety or percentage or dollar amount in your portfolio, think about it like insurance protection, because that's what it is. How much coverage do you want to have? Do you want minimum or maximum coverage? Well, that's a personal answer that each and all, every one of us has to give. What do you want? I mean, some of us drive around with just liability insurance. That's the minimum. Others have a lot more to lose, and we've got to have the maximum coverage. So which describes you in terms of your overall investments? Do you want minimum coverage or maximum? What should your margin of safety be? Like insurance, the prudent investor acquires a margin of safety before they need it, with an emphasis on before. Now, this raises a key question. When is the absolute best time to implement a margin of safety inside your investment portfolio? When is that? Well, it's when market conditions are favorable, not when it's raining cannonballs. After that, the second most favorable time to to implement a margin of safety is when it's raining cannonballs. Ideally, you do it before, but if you miss that chance, if you overlook it, well, you can always get to it later when it's raining cannonballs. My point is you should always have a margin of safety. Portfolios large and small, this is a fundamental truth that was preached about back in the 30s by Benjamin Graham and David Dodd, founders of value investing. They applied this in the context of selecting individual stocks at undervalued prices. They called it margin of safety. Well, guess what? In the context of the individual investor and their entire investment portfolio, the same concept of margin of safety applies. It represents the capital or money that you absolutely cannot afford to risk to potential market losses. It should be part of your portfolio. It should be liquid. It should be capital preservation. It's a core part of your overall investment strategy. So that's that. And thank you again, SMW, for taking Rhonda Legge's Portfolio Report Card Challenge. Well, that does it for this episode of the Index Investing Show. Join us again next week.
The opinions expressed in this broadcast are not necessarily that of our advertisers, sponsors, or broadcast partners. The discussion of investing is general and should not be construed as investment advice or an offer to buy or sell securities. Listeners are responsible for their own investment decisions and results. Before investing in mutual funds or ETFs, always consult a prospectus for risk, charges, expenses, and other information. Read the prospectus carefully before investing. Past performance is not indicative of future results. No reproduction or dissemination of the Index Investing Show is permitted without the expressed written consent of its producers.